All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Wednesday. Another beautiful but snowy day on Lake Wissota. We got an inch or so here yesterday, more in other areas north and west of here. And they're saying we'll get another 1 to 2 here. And again, more north and west of here, as it's kind of a 1-2 punch of a snowstorm that we have on this January 4th. Coming up this morning, former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski. This is her first day after serving 4 years as state treasurer. She's going to join us live in our second hour to talk about her new effort to support and lift up the voices of Wisconsin women who've chosen to engage in public service all around the state. We'll visit with Pastor Ned Lanhart of Barron County, who has a kind of a spiritual twist on New Year's resolutions that you may be interested in. And we'll talk about the inauguration of Governor Tony Evers to a second term in office at the bottom of this hour. And we'll hear from our friend Kristen Lyerly, who took part in the festivities, a day side and night side. And Republicans have taken over the U.S. House of Representatives, kind of. I think they basically spent the first day living out the saying, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll wrap things up when Todd Alba joins us at 7:50 to talk about his show, which follows this one on many of our Civic Media radio stations all across Wisconsin. To reach us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or give us a call. The main studio line for all Civic Media shows is 844-967-2789, and the special Up North line is 715-388-7155. Where you might have to get past a gatekeeper by the name of Aaron Zommers. Aaron, good morning.
Hey, good luck.
You ever think of yourself as a gatekeeper, the guy standing by the velvet rope?
Well, you know what they say, gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss.
I'm sorry, what?
Gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss. Does that make sense? It doesn't.
No, not to. Please tell Grandpa what we're talking about here.
It's a guideline to life. Not really. It's just a meme that basically like all the things mean girl would do.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. My sister started saying it a lot when we were watching Pretty Little Liars together.
Oh, okay. Hadn't seen that. I've seen Mean Girls, and I've never associated you with Mean Girls is all.
That's very fair. I wouldn't either.
All right. Well, we've got the couple of sports headlines to pass along. The Bucks had their rematch against the Wizards last night. The last time around on Sunday, the Wizards won, but neither Giannis nor Drew Holiday was in the lineup on Sunday. They both were back last night. Should not surprise you, not only that the Bucks won, but Giannis had a career night, a career high 55 points off a series of thrilling dunks and drives. The Bucks beat the Wizards 123-113. Antetokounmpo had at least 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists in each of the last 3 games that he's played. The only other players in NBA history to have 3 straight games of 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. A guy named Elgin Baylor did it in 61 and 63. Another guy you might know, Wilt Chamberlain, did it in 1963, and then Russell Westbrook did it in 2016. Drew Holiday returned after missing 3 games with a non-COVID illness, scoring 6 points in 19 minutes. Forward Chris Middleton missed an 8th straight game with a sore right knee and will not play when the Bucks are in Toronto tonight to take on the Raptors. Then they're at home again on Friday to take on the Charlotte Hornets. The Badger men's basketball team, 14th ranked in the nation, held off the Minnesota Gophers last night 63-60 for their 6th straight win. Leading scorer Tyler Wall, who averages 14.5 points a game, sustained an ankle injury in the first half. He sat out the remainder of the game after playing the first 8 minutes. The Badgers are at Illinois come Sunday. The Badger women will host the Gophers coming up next Sunday afternoon. Marquette men's basketball beat St. John's last night, 96-85. Marquette will host Georgetown Saturday afternoon. The Marquette women will be at DePaul tomorrow night. So there's a little update on all that was going on in the world of sports. And if you didn't hear it yesterday, the Packer game, the regular season finale against Detroit at Lambeau Field, has been moved. It's the Sunday night game now, and kickoff is at 7:20 come this Sunday. Aaron, I don't think we didn't really get into Christmas presents or holiday gifts yesterday as we were catching up for the start of the new year. So I don't think I told you that one of my daughters enrolled me in kind of a bourbon and whiskey tasting thing, did I?
No, that's pretty cool.
Which I shouldn't be holding this so close to my coffee cup because, you know, we don't want to tempt danger.
Yeah, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, 5 a.m. at least.
Yes. Well, be that as it may, you get these little bottles and it comes in a cute little round box and they almost look like little test tubes here of, well, brown fluid. And let's just leave it at that. And then you're supposed to, you know, sip them and sample them. And then they tell you where they're from and everything. I don't do this with wine. I'm not much of a wine drinker. I'm not much of a beer aficionado, but I do enjoy doing that with whiskey and bourbon. And so apparently one of my daughters knows me just a little too well, knowing that I was going to experiment with those. And I have to say again, for the record, I prefer my bourbon to be aged 9 years, not 9 weeks, 9 months. There's the difference. Big difference. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about and maybe have a good laugh about the new session of Congress. The House of Representatives still doesn't exist. Got to have that vote for Speaker, which is still going on. Next, you're up north. About the not-so-virtual insanity of setting up a new Congress in just a minute. First, I want to remind you there are many ways to listen or watch what we do. You can watch us, if you care to see me and Aaron operate in person, through Facebook. Go to the Up North News page or the page for our flagship station for the show, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. So you can either go to Up North News WI on Facebook or Bull Falls Radio. If you miss a show and you want to listen back, go to civicmedia.us, the website for all of these great radio stations around the state. Click on the name of a show and you will see a listing of all the recent episodes. You can either listen right there on the webpage or click the links and subscribe as a podcast with whatever you like to use, Apple, Spotify, or more. And you can also listen live on the Civic Media app. That way you can hear Up North News Radio, even if you don't have a radio nearby. And again, you can always reach us at 844-967-2789, 715-388-7155, or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Yesterday, I forgot to note that there was the anniversary about Congress having its proceedings televised for the first time this week back in 1947. It was something new and novel, allowing you to, you know, see behind the scenes of something that the public could never see before unless you were up in the gallery. And that is the way that the U.S. Congress operates. And no doubt for 1947, what they were looking at was the opening session following the 1946 elections, where the very first order of business would have been holding a vote to see who would be the Speaker of the House. And as always happens, usually, that takes one ballot. Well, that takes us to today's Congress, which deserves its own laugh track, basically, as Kevin McCarthy sought to become the Speaker of the House, hoping that the people that said they weren't going to vote for him would somehow change their minds and magically vote for him on the first ballot. They did not. Then came time for the second ballot, and we got the same result. The laugh track. And then, well, let's try it again. Here are the results from the third ballot of the vote for Speaker. Yeah, so at that point, people wondered, is Kevin McCarthy going to make them vote all night long? and just try to wear them down that way. Well, that's not the way it worked out. Fortunately, I mean, it's one thing to stay up all night and watch political TV coverage if Steve Kornacki is, you know, breaking down all the latest numbers as votes change, but the votes weren't going to change here. So the whole entire night would have been filled with round after round of Kevin McCarthy actually coming in second. That's the thing here. This is a new Republican Congress. And in the first vote that they took, Democrats won. The Democratic minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, won more votes than Kevin McCarthy because 19 of his fellow Republicans peeled off and supported other candidates other than Kevin McCarthy. So 19 of them peeled off on the first round. Those same 19 simply united around a single candidate in the second round. And then in the third round of balloting, one more defection popped up. So that was 20 votes that Kevin McCarthy lost. Now, even though Hakeem Jeffries kept all 212 Democrats together, you still need a majority of 219 to win the speakership. So that's why it went on to a second and a third ballot. And I think there will be a fourth ballot starting today at noon or so. It kind of depends. Republicans may or may not meet first. Deals may or may not be made. But it was embarrassing, I guess. I mean, not in a way. I don't feel bad for Kevin McCarthy. And we talked about the reasons why yesterday, but it just had to be so humiliating to just sit there on national TV and watch this happen to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because this hasn't happened in exactly 100 years. It was 1923, mm-hmm. the last time that we had to go to so many ballots for this.
Yeah. And then, now keep in mind, again, this is the same Kevin McCarthy who criticized Donald Trump in the immediate aftermath of January 6th, while the smoke still hadn't cleared from the Capitol. But then, not long after, debased himself supremely by flying down to Mar-a-Lago and posing with the former guy. I said yesterday that they were doing the thumbs up pose. They actually weren't in that picture, but still, him just standing there with him with all the gilded columns and all the other fakery was just humiliating. And the thing is, it didn't help him at all. The people that oppose Kevin McCarthy, the fellow Republicans who oppose him, don't think that he's Trumpy enough. Now, McCarthy's been telling people that, you know, Trump supports him and wants him to stay in the race and pull the party together. But then when Trump was asked yesterday if he still supports McCarthy, his answer was something along the lines of, well, let's just see what happens. Well, there's a roaring vote of confidence, if ever there was one. So it was not the day that Republicans were planning. And as a result, because there is still no speaker, there is still technically no House of Representatives, which, by the way, means that Derek Van Orden is still not a congressman. He was not sworn in yesterday, nor were any of the new members. There was no swearing-in ceremony. There is only a skeleton that is running, the staff that is running the House of Representatives, run by the chief clerk, a black woman. First time that I believe that's happened in the history of Congress. One guy did claim that he'd been sworn in. He put out a press release. He put it on his website. And I'm not even kidding. It was George Santos, the perpetual liar from New York, who had to sit by himself yesterday. Nobody would talk to him because, well, they don't know what's real about him. He lied about everything, somehow narrowly won election in New York, and along with claiming so many things that are absolute lies, he didn't have the presence of mind to pull back the press release that said he'd been sworn in because, you know, they didn't swear in anybody. They can't name committee members. They can't engage in any floor proceedings, and they can't do the thing that they said they were, you know, promising the voters they would do, which is investigate the Biden administration. You know, there was no Hunter Biden investigation that got started because they can't do anything. McCarthy at best got to 203 votes, something that hasn't happened to a potential speaker since 1923. It is the longest, most grueling fight for the gavel since before the Civil War in 1855, when this dragged out for 2 months and 133 ballots. Imagine 2 months of Republicans being able to get nothing done with voters saying, hey, this is what we elected you to run this place, and you can't even agree amongst yourselves who your leader is.
I mean, that does sound pretty familiar of having all this time with them not doing anything. We've definitely had that in Wisconsin for long enough. It's a slightly different situation, but
there is amongst those 19 or 20, there is no desire to govern. There is only this desire to rule, you know, to investigate, to engage in endless politics. And so when I use the phrase play stupid games, win stupid prizes, the stupid game isn't just the politics of division and the politics of destruction, which they are masters at, but the politics of cheating. The Republicans only have the majority because of redistricting, because of gerrymandering, because of the way they rigged the maps in several states, that if the maps were more representative of the voters, they wouldn't have a majority. Democrats would. Now, again, it would be a slight majority, but you saw in yesterday's happenings the difference between the two parties currently. If you weren't aware of this, it needs to be said loud and clear. 2 years ago, for the past 2 years, Democrats had a narrow margin of control. The exact same margin, in fact, a 5-vote margin. And recall that a couple of years ago, you know, the Democratic women known as the Squad were not initially supportive of Nancy Pelosi serving once again as Speaker. Pelosi got her caucus on the bus and engaged in true leadership, in vote counting, in persuasion, whatever the case may be. And with that same narrow majority, they passed the American Rescue Plan. They passed the Inflation Reduction Act. They passed a bipartisan infrastructure bill that's going to create jobs in America for decades, going to move us more toward clean energy, going to do more to build out broadband infrastructure. Again, it's all about governing. You have now people on Medicare, their insulin costs are capped at $35 a month. That started just this week because they want to do things. And even with a narrow majority, you can do things, but you actually have to want to do them in the first place. And you have far too many Republicans, just enough, who don't care about any of that. They just want, well, I don't know what they want. Even Kevin McCarthy doesn't know what they want. Here's Kevin McCarthy talking about what he thinks is motivating some of these renegade Republicans.
I will always fight to put the American people first, not a few individuals that want something for themselves. So we may have a battle on the floor, but the battle is for the conference and the country, and that's fine with me.
And McCarthy says that he can be patient, but again, listen to his excuse to how he can be patient through multiple ballots.
I have the record for the longest speech ever on the floor. I don't have a problem getting a record for the most votes for speaker, too.
That's not leadership. To say that I made the longest speech ever and I'm willing to outlast these dissidents, that's not going to work, because giving a speech for 8 hours, I will admit it's for show, but it's still work. You have to actually speak somewhat coherently for 8 hours. These defectors on the Republican side, they don't have to do any work. You're not asking them to make any sacrifice. So it's easy to say no and then say no again on the second round and then say no on the third round. You know what they're going to do in this fourth round? They're going to say no. As long as Kevin McCarthy's name is on there, and as long as enough of them, you know, 4 or 5 of them say no, it's no sweat off their brow, because they're not looking to do anything. Once they get sworn in, the thing that they're going to do is waste your time and money. with investigations and playing politics rather than governing, rather than having a plan for the economy. So even though 90% of the Republican caucus is angry right now because they want Kevin McCarthy in and they want to get things done, 90% isn't enough. Give Nancy Pelosi credit. She knows how to do math. We'll be back. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What suffers a beer?
You know, somehow I doubt that this got played in the Capitol Rotunda yesterday, but how great would that have been as walk-up music? As Tony Evers takes the oath of office and starts his second inaugural address with "Don't call it a comeback." Or maybe he could have quoted President Bartlett from the West Wing, looked over at the GOP lawmakers in the audience and said, "In the future, if you're wondering, crime, boy, I don't know, is when I decided to kick your ass." Evers had all these opportunities to gloat, shall we say, and he didn't, because that's not the kind of person he is. He took the high road, talked about his ideas. We'll get to all of that in just a sec. But I was just thinking back to, you know, 4 years ago, attending Governor Tony Evers' first inauguration. It was my second such event, having attended my own in 2007, which was also the second inaugural for Governor Jim Doyle. And I can tell you, these festivities are a nice break after a rough and tumble year of campaigning. Does anything truly bipartisan get done that day? No, of course not. But on that day, at least, folks from both parties call a truce if they're not planning an insurrection. And they're doing it in part because their families are there with them. There's a, you know, a ceremony is held. There are speeches, songs, handshakes, you know, just a whole lot of optimism over what could be possible. And for further proof of that and that sense of optimism, listen to our friend Kristen Lyerly. She attended her first inauguration and her first inaugural ball. She recorded little selfie videos before each one. So let's play those back to back.
Hello from Madison. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly here at the inauguration of Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And boy, I just have to tell you, the excitement is building. People are entering the unbelievable rotunda. I mean, look at this beautiful building. And we can just feel it. It's in the air. The possibility, the opportunity, what we can do together in this legislative session with this budget surplus, with these leaders on board. We can make a difference for the people of Wisconsin. So here we go. Here we are at the inaugural gala for Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and the rest of the crew. And I gotta tell you, you can't see behind me too much, but there are so many people here gathered, excited, just really looking forward to what lies ahead for all of us here in Wisconsin. We just ran into Mayor Genrich and his wife. We've seen bunches of friends who have been big supporters of the governor and the rest of the crew. And we're actually heading over to the bar pretty soon, so we'll catch up with
you. Like how she wraps up with, we're heading over to the bar, so I'll catch you later. We did not hear back from Kristen after that, so hopefully she had her dancing shoes on and had a wonderful time, you know, basking in the optimism, talking about meeting Eric Genrich, the mayor of Green Bay, and looking at the possibilities. And that is what a day like yesterday is supposed to be for, is saying, look, everybody, here's what's possible if we could work together. And those types of things are what Governor Tony Evers outlined in his second inaugural. He did talk about his priorities, if he could get the legislature to go along, such as expanding healthcare coverage for more people in Wisconsin through Medicaid, overturning an 1849 state law that bans abortions, legalizing marijuana. Of course, the Senate Republican leader, Devin LeMahieu, did not share in that optimism. He called Evers' speech disappointing and highly partisan. Evers said he hoped that his reelection would serve as a rejection of the bitter politics of resentment. Evers said, given the opportunity to retreat into division and doubt, Wisconsinites chose a future of unity and faith. Given the opportunity to further enable cynicism and hate, Wisconsinites chose instead kindness. They chose hope. But LeMahieu said, quote, he talked about working together, but all of his ideas were highly partisan issues that he brought up. No, actually, they were not. The ideas that he brought up have broad public support, broad bipartisan public support. It is the Republicans in this legislature who are the outliers, who have gerrymandered their map in such a way that they can represent the most extreme of Wisconsin voters who are in the minority, and then have the audacity to say to a governor who is actually standing with the people that he is being, he is the one that is being, you know, highly partisan. Evers and Democrats, say that they will continue to try to work with or around Republicans in the legislature. Think of the inaugural address as essentially a warm-up speech for Evers, because he's got two more coming. There's the State of the State address in 3 weeks, which will sound a lot similar, hit on general themes. And then next month, Evers will give a more detailed address with his actual plan for the state budget. You know, the state budget is written every 2 years. It includes this time around a record surplus of $6.5 billion. Obviously, what Evers proposes is not what's going to be the final state budget, because Republicans control the legislature, so they will put forward their ideas. They will blindly scrap many of Evers just because, not for genuine political, partisan, philosophical differences, but, you know, in many cases, just out of spite. They will talk again about cutting taxes, primarily for the wealthy. They will talk about a flat income tax, which again is a giveaway to the overwhelmingly wealthy in this state. Evers, meanwhile, is calling for generational transformative improvements, in his words, on how we invest in our local communities and keep them safe. He called for increased funding for local governments. Republican legislators are discussing a plan that would give counties, cities, and towns and villages a portion of state sales tax revenue. But again, the sales tax is a regressive one. It's the one that hurts families more than a progressive income tax. And Republicans know that. It's not like they don't know taxation 101. They are just telling you to your face, we would rather represent the very wealthy than you, because they're the ones who take care of us. Now, in addition to Evers, also sworn in yesterday was Secretary of State Doug LaFollette, the new state treasurer, Republican John Lieber, Attorney General Josh Call returns, the Democratic incumbent, and there is a new lieutenant governor in the state of Wisconsin, Democrat Sarah Rodriguez, who served in the state assembly. There are 17 members who were sworn in the state Senate, about half of that body. And then all 99 members of the state assembly were sworn in. A lot of new members after a record number of retirements earlier this year from folks who said that they've seen enough, they're ready to step down, Republicans and Democrats alike. There are 7 new state senators. There are 24 new members of the assembly that were sworn in yesterday. Again, the optimist in me would love to tell you that with all that new blood at both ends of the aisle, that things could get done. And I will tell you that there will be, you know, there will be some friendships that are forged there across the aisle. But I can't in any way, shape, or form promise that it will lead to pressure on the leadership to be more accommodating and to actually make some progress, because, you know, again, Republicans would have to change their entire playbook, which is rooted solely in digging in their heels, much like we're seeing over in Congress right now, where you have defectors who are just digging in their heels, do not want to work with Kevin McCarthy. They just want to get rid of him. There were four former governors who attended the inauguration yesterday. Tell me if you can tell who's missing. There were Republicans Tommy Thompson and Scott McCallum, and Democrats Jim Doyle and Marty Schreiber. No, Scott Walker could not be bothered to attend the inauguration of the man who beat him 4 years ago. Also present were now former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski and now former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And Godlewski is going to join us in our next hour to talk about some of the things that she's planning to do. And I think more of that is going to include visits with us as she helps lift up and amplify the voices of women who engage in all manner of public service around Wisconsin. I did mention yesterday that, well, actually, it was swearing-in day, not just in Congress, not just in Madison, but in state capitals around the country and in county courthouses all around the state. You know, if you looked at local news, you might have seen, you know, one local sheriff sworn in, or, you know, more like here in the Eau Claire area. They showed off the new sheriffs in Eau Claire County, Chippewa County, La Crosse County. So it's, again, that peaceful transfer of power is a hallmark of American democracy and something that, unfortunately, too many of us take for granted. But when it's done and when it's done right, then it does not disrupt life in the United States, and people can go on with their business. They can try to bridge their political disagreements and go from there. And again, if you have thoughts on that, either on the Evers second term or in what Congress was doing yesterday, you know, you can always reach the show here at 715-388-7155. And our general studio line, which is 844-967-2789. As I'd mentioned previously, Democratic Governor Tim Walz was sworn into a second term in Minnesota. And in his inaugural address, he pledged to make the largest investments in public education in Minnesota history, because over there, they're dealing with a $17.5 billion projected surplus. And they are looking to do things like, you know, end child poverty and things like that. So, you know, contrast that with what we're going to hear from Republicans who, again, claimed that Evers was too partisan. But when you say, okay, what is it that you want to do? And then when you grant them the first thing, okay, you want to cut taxes for the wealthy. What else do you want to do for people? Well, again, it would be like, well, we want to get rid of red tape, which is, you know, what they mean by gutting the protections that consumers get, that employees get, that natural resources get. As far as what they want to do for people, kind of remains to be seen. And look, the thing we'll listen for next is the State of the State address about 3 weeks from now, and then the Republican response to it. When you get past the platitudes of we need to create more opportunity for the job creators, you know, the things that are code for, you know, cut taxes and cut safeguards. Listen for what it is that they're actually proposing instead. And then we'll talk. We'll talk at that point about that. All right. Now, still to come, we want to talk a bit more about the fake electors scheme, only because more documentation has been released from the January 6th committee. It was released last week, but it's still being reviewed and mulled over. And we're just continuing to learn details that involve Ron Johnson and his role and his knowledge of the fake electors scheme, which, by the way, when reached yesterday, he claims not to remember some of these conversations and says the January 6th committee is just out to smear him, which is the kind of thing Ron Johnson says. Remember when the FBI held a meeting with him to warn him about not becoming a Russian stooge for disinformation? How has he responded to that ever since? Oh, the FBI was setting me up. And so again, it's the FBI that's smearing him. The January 6th committee is smearing him. Or maybe he could be more forthright about what it is that he wants to do. or doesn't want to do as a U.S. senator. We'll try to talk about that a little bit later on. But this day in music history is coming up next with Melissa Kay. You're up north.
In the future, if you're wondering, crime, boy, I don't know, is when I decided to kick your ass.
Up, down, up. When I up, down, touch the ground, it puts me in the mood. Up, down, touch the ground, in the mood. For food.
I mean, isn't that, that's the music you want when you're exercising, is Winnie the Pooh telling you that exercise actually, you know, makes room for you to enjoy more food. That's the voice of Sterling Holloway, who was born on this day in 1905. He passed away in 1992. While he's listed as an actor who performed in more than 100 movies and 40 TV shows, he is best known for being the voice of Winnie the Pooh. He was the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. He was it Ka, the big old snake in Jungle Book? Just amazingly talented, but he also gave us Winnie the Pooh. And, you know, for that, we are eminently grateful. Somebody who is, you know, in has as much of the quality of being endearing as Melissa Kay does in Wisconsin Rapids. How are you?
Thanks, Pat. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Melissa joins us from WFHR, locally grown radio. Do you guys have a jingle that sings that? You really should.
You know, we have something, but it may need to be over me done again.
I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to just sing locally grown radio, and then you can just play that all you want.
You know, now we already have two takes. We have two takes right there. So
yeah, we have two takes. It's already on record. Evan's got it.
Go on. I dare you. How were your holidays?
Oh, good. Busy. Saw lots of family, lots of friends, lots of food, you know, all the good things.
Oh, yes. All the good things. That sounds great. You want to help me go through some music history on this day?
Well, sure. Maybe I first need to do some exercise, like Pooh said, so I can fit more food in.
No, we got to kind of mentally stretch ourselves here. Let's start. We'll play a little bit of The Doors' Light My Fire from their self-titled debut album. Ooh. There we go. While that plays, that would be from this. I don't really want to quiz you all the time because, I mean, you're not supposed to know 1960s music history, but you want to take a crack at this one?
Oh, I know, I know it.
When did The Doors come on the scene?
Girl, we couldn't get much higher.
There you go. 1967 is what we had. By the way, that was 1967. By that time, the Rolling Stones were already getting established, and it was on this day in 1968, UCLA announced that future music students would have to study the music of the Rolling Stones because of their impact on music history. Aaron, you like music history. Do you think the Rolling Stones should be studied along with the likes of Mozart and Beethoven?
Yeah, definitely. I know when I was doing musicology classes, we had a lot of things beyond just what we all like to refer to as the old dead white guys. Now, are the Rolling Stones also a bunch of white guys? Yes, but at least they're within the last 100 years. So this was definitely a good start, a push in the right direction. We have come a long way since 1968 in teaching more kinds of music, but this was definitely, again, a step in the right direction.
Melissa, where are you on the Rolling Stones as part of music history classes?
I think that they're important. I think that all genres of music should be studied because they all build on each other and they all share so many, you know, like rhythm, beat. I mean, they're all music.
Which reminds me, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe Rolling Stone magazine just put out something like the 200 greatest singers, and people, of course, are fighting about it because it didn't have people like, you know, Celine Dion on there, for example, which, you know, some people would say this is why you don't make lists, but you and I both know this is exactly why you make lists, so that you can, you know, start fights and keep discussion going about it.
Absolutely. absolutely. It just brings it more into in front of the public eye. It's always a good thing.
Let's play a little Yes from 1972. It was on this day they released Roundabout. And while that plays, we'll give a little history. Louis Braille, the inventor, was born on this day in 1809. Melissa, want to take a crack at what Louis Braille invented?
Braille reading.
Hey, there you go. Boy, there's not getting anything by you today.
Yeah, I'm sharp as a cracker.
Utah was admitted as the 45th state this day in 1896. Let's see, I think I've got something from, oh yeah, on this day in 2004, the NASA Mars rover Spirit made its successful landing. It functioned 20 times longer than anticipated, collecting data for over 6 years. That's what's called overachieving. So, you know, good for all of them. Let's see, birthdays. I don't know this one, Aaron. Till Lindemann turns 60 today.
Yep, he's the lead singer of Rammstein.
Rammstein.
Oh, wait, Melissa, you know this too?
Oh, yeah, I love this song.
Seriously?
I got to see them live earlier this year, and that was an incredible concert. There was a lot of fire. It was in a huge, like, stadium, and I was way in the back, and I could still feel the heat from the fire.
Wow.
It was really cool.
I saw drone footage of that concert, I think, or one of their concerts, because I think they use fire in a lot of their concerts.
Yeah.
But it was pretty impressive to see from the air.
Yeah. Apparently, Till Lindemann, he used to do this, all the fire stuff, on his own before he was certified. And then he started getting a few too many burns. So they're like, dude, if you're going to do this, you need to at least learn how.
Please leave it to the trained professionals. So this little fire bug turns 60 today. Turning 63 today, Michael Stipe, the singer and songwriter from REM.
Oh. What's a frequency can at the
shop? Which, of course, I always enjoy this line because it reminds me of that weird episode where Dan Rather was anchoring the CBS Evening News at the time and was accosted by somebody who kept asking him, Kenneth, what's the frequency? And, you know, just a reminder that pretty much anything can happen to you when you're walking the streets of New York City. one more favorite country singer of mine, Patti Loveless, turns 66 today, and this is one of my favorites from her. I try to think about Elvis, Memphis, Oprah in the afternoon. I try to think about palm trees. That's one of those you can just play, you know, in the background all day long. So Patti Loveless
or sing badly at karaoke, you know.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, that is always an option. All right, so now that I've learned from the two of you about again, what is it? Rammstein?
Rammstein.
Okay. So that's one I've got to look up and look at these fiery concerts.
Yes.
All right. I'm learning stuff here. Well, will that lead me to appreciating some other band? Again, let's come to music history. I've already studied the Rolling Stones, so now I've got to study this group. Anything related to it that I'm going to be going down the rabbit hole with?
Some interesting German lyrics, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. They're interesting as a word for it. There's a lot of wordplay. Like the song we heard earlier, Du hast with one S is have, but hast with two S's, or like the weird German B, is hate, or it's the other way around. But so yeah, a lot of wordplay.
Okay. Hey, Melissa, thanks for playing along with us. Have a great show. Good to talk to you.
Yes, you too. Great to see you guys.
Happy New Year. All right, the Wisconsin Rapids folks from Locally Grown Radio are taking off. For the rest of you in our next hour, Pastor Ned Lenhart and Sarah Godlewski. This is Up North News Radio.